Okay, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Verse 28. I believe we've been in this study on Calvinism and Arminianism. The 5 points on both sides. Verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the statements of fact in your word that we know are true because you have worked in your children that which is salvation, and that which we could not do, you have done, and we praise you. And Lord, pray that you guide our thinking tonight on really something that people should know but probably never heard of in many places. But Lord, that which is very important as to this aspect of who does the work, who is it that saves? And I pray, Lord, we would glorify you in our understanding of that. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to look at the order of salvation tonight, which is a logical order of what happens when a person is saved. There's not a time element here that we can discern. The order of salvation, when a person's saved, they're just saved. But it's like when you start a car, a lot of things are going on under the hood and in the car, from the ignition to the engine and all around. And what we see is the engine starting or not. But that's all. It all happens then. But a lot of things happened before the engine started, so that when we start the engine, it actually starts. All the typical driver knows is that you turn the key and the engine starts. But no sensible person would say that when you turn the key, the engine began to be created and the spark plugs begin to, you know, be put in position. All that happens before. So what goes on before is hidden under the hood and in the fuses and the wires and such from the key, starters and all that. So everybody knows that work was done beforehand. A person could say, well, I turned the key and the car started, and take some credit for that. They did start the car, but there's a whole lot under the hood that happened to make it work that way, you know. And if any of those things were not there, well, the car is not going to start. So when we speak about salvation, what we see when a person believes, when they place their faith in Christ, there's something behind that. Logically, an order that produces that response. What we see is just like when the car starts, we see the person praying or making some kind of outward action to be saved. And that takes a lot of different methods that people use. Some people go forward. Of course, going forward doesn't save you any more than raising your hand or signing a tract or any of that stuff, or praying itself. We're saved by God. That happens in a logical order, and that's what I want to look at tonight. You see in this passage how this is showing that Paul is indeed a Calvinist. Of course, Calvin was later on. But what we would call a Calvinist today, Paul was. He speaks of a purpose from God that is absolutely completed. We know all God that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So we're talking about the purpose of God here. The purpose of God is always completed. And that's a Calvinistic thing. Arminians say that God has purposes, such as to save everybody, that are not fulfilled. That Christ died for every person, but not every person is saved. That Jesus wants everybody to be saved, but is powerless to make anybody saved. Well, the Calvinist says, well, of course, that those that God has chosen before the foundation of the world, they will be saved. His purpose will be worked out. And God causes all things to work together for good. God's plan and purpose is good. None of his plans are thwarted. That's us, not God. He speaks of that foreknowledge, predestination, calling, justification, glorification, which shows that God is on top, which again is a Calvinistic position, that salvation is of the Lord, that God is at the base of it. He's at the top of it. He's the one who does it. If he is for us, who can be against us? Verse 31 says that. He who did not spare his own son, verse 32, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Well, again, that's God in charge. God wants to freely give us all things. Who's going to stop that? If God is for us, who can be against us? And yet the Arminian thinks that we can be against God. We can even lose our salvation if you're a consistent Arminian, that, you know, you hold on to it or you don't hold on to it. If you live like you're not saved, they believe you were saved and lost it. Again, that was not Calvinism or biblical teaching, but that's that side of the 5 points. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? Well, these are rhetorical questions. God is the one who justifies. Who is he who condemns? Verse 34, Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, he was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Well, there again is Jesus interceding for the saints according to the fact that he has our advocate. He has saved us, and any accusation from the devil against us can't be successful because our Lord Jesus is our high priest. He intercedes for us. He stands for us in the presence of God. God sees us in Christ. God favors his son. He favors us in his son. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Verse 35, will tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? No, nothing. Verse 37, in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's pure Calvinism. Pure perseverance of the saints. Pure the elect come to faith and get to heaven. It's all very clear there. So who starts that process? Who starts our salvation? What is the flashpoint? And this is very clearly a difference between the 5 points of Arminianism and the 5 points of Calvinism. Arminians view the decision of a sinner as the flashpoint. Decisionism, it's been called, like a cult, that a person makes a decision and then salvation flows. In that sense, to the car illustration, they turn the key and then God builds the engine. We are first. Or some would say God goes ahead and builds the engine and it's just waiting there, but he can't start it until we start it. God doesn't start it. We have to start it. So God has the big engine in there ready to fire up. We got to turn the key. But when we turn the key, that decision is viewed as the start, the flashpoint, the fuse is lit by us. And from there, the things that make for salvation occur. That's why you get a bunch of songs about Jesus waiting and hoping and wishing that we would be saved. That's where people can't understand that, you know, the particular atonement that God has chosen to save his children. If you believe in an open call that anybody can come, well, then it's up to us. But that's an Arminian position. The decision, believing the decision is the same as an effectual call of the Holy Spirit. That is a huge mistake. And if you want to, you know, summarize or sum up the error of Arminian evangelism, it would rest there. The belief in the power of the human will that God would then save us, that we, in essence, save ourselves by believing. That is just wrong. Calvinists view the inward call of the Holy Spirit as the flashpoint. What the Holy Spirit does inside of us. And, of course, even before that, from before the foundation of the world, we've been chosen in Him. We've been predestined to faith. And we're going to be saved because of the Lord. Well, that's the big difference, is that God's decision from eternity saves us, as opposed to our decision in time saving us. The simplest way, with this order of salvation, the simplest way to describe it, and I'll get more into the details in a moment, is to ask the question, what comes first, regeneration or conversion? Regeneration is the inward work of the Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, unless you're born again, all who are born of the Spirit, born of water and the Spirit is the one who causes regeneration. It means that we're generated again, we're made new. Does that come first, or does conversion come first? Conversion is the outward show of salvation when a person believes. It's what we see. We hear the engine running. So does that come first? Is conversion, does it start with us? And then we show that we want to believe, we show that we want to be saved, we raise our hand or go forward or whatever. And then regeneration follows. Then the Holy Spirit changes. Now, it's a very easy question to answer biblically. But the question is whether God saves us because we ask Him, or we ask Him because He saves us. Does God wait for us to ask Him before He saves us? And that comes along with a veritable guarantee on the part of the Arminian that if you ask God, if you make a decision, He will save you, since He's done everything else and all He's doing is waiting for us to give Him a nudge, however sincere or insincere it turns out to be. Is faith and repentance, which is what we would call conversion, faith and repentance, that's what we see outwardly, is that a work of man that God responds to? Or is it the work of God that man responds to? And that is, light and day. You can't really get more opposite than that. Are we saved because we ask, or do we ask because our hearts have been opened? Does God do something and kick us awake, or do we wake up and call on God and He saves us? You couldn't be more 180 than that. And that's really at the heart of the question of the order of salvation. how we view the logical order of salvation. And I've just mentioned the two things here, regeneration and conversion. Conversion could go to three things. Conversion is faith and repentance. Faith and belief are the same. How we view that is what keeps us from being deceived, and a lot of people from being deceived about believing. You know, so many people have believed and they're not living Christian lives. Well, we can fall. You know, David had a fall, but it doesn't last forever, and it's not the norm. It seems today the norm is, in bigger churches than ours, you probably have 90% of the people showing evidence of not being saved. They may show up on Sunday morning and participate in the service by being there. That's about it. They're gone for the rest of the week and come back the next time. They're faithful church members. But as far as fruit, they don't really show any of that. But they believe they're saved on the basis of the fact that they made a decision. And that Arminian belief that a decision saves you has them thinking that they're saved without bearing fruit. They would say that the two seeds in the parable of the sower and the soils that did not produce fruit were still Christians. One was a really good Christian, one that bore fruit on good soil. But the other one's choked out by the thorns or the rocky soil. Well, they're Christians too. They're just not as good a Christian as the other. So, you know, it's a big contrast. And people think they're saved based on a decision. They think they're saved based on going forward. This is what Spurgeon said would happen if you started doing things like that. This was a Charles Finney thing, anxious seats, have people come forward who were scared. And he was a scary guy. And, you know, they would say they wanted to be saved, and that's it. Billy Graham's crusades, people go forward. Billy Graham himself, I heard several years ago, would say 10% of those they thought would be genuine conversions, where they were actually saved. But all of them said they wanted to be saved. But there's something, you know, what is that thing that happens to people? And we all know people who have made a decision. And why didn't it work? Well, here is why. They've got the order wrong. They've made a decision before God did. I mean, as far as in time. And to the human eye, all this happens at the same time. I mean, the order of salvation, we don't see any time distinctions. When a person is saved, they're saved. God may work on them, convicting them, drawing them. But once the flashpoint comes of salvation, once this being saved happens, it is, I mean, instantaneous. We don't see the inside. We can't see the heart. We see the outside. That all happens at the same time as far as, you know, point in time goes. But the logical order is what we're talking about here. Underneath, what happens underneath the surface? Now, if you look at our passage, there's a bit of an order here. Not everything is mentioned, but this passage says those whom he foreknew, that's from before the foundation of the world, he also predestined, again, before the foundation of the world, to become conformed to the image of his son so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And so chosen beforehand, then in time we start to see these whom he predestined, he also called. These whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. But he doesn't mention all the parts. It does have an order there, though. At salvation, there's a call, there's justification, and there's glorification. We've seen previous passages in this study that speak of the same work of God beforehand. Lydia's heart was opened to receive the things spoken by Paul. How does she receive? her heart was open. Then she believed. No one can come to me except the Father who sent me draws him, Jesus said. So you can't come on your own. You can't make a decision on your own that means anything. You can't come unless you're drawn by the Father. In Acts, we saw all who were ordained to eternal life believe. So there was the ordination to eternal life, and then they believed. Work of God first, our believing second. Many are called, Jesus said, few are chosen. So there's an external call. Many are called, few are chosen. The few who are chosen will be an internal call. So they'd be different. So what happens when a person says, let me just mention all of the ones just without any order yet. They may be in some order, but what are the parts we see when a person is saved? We see conversion. That is, we see something on the outside that shows. That would be faith and repentance, or believing in Jesus and repenting, turning away from sin. There's regeneration. That's under the surface. That's the Holy Spirit causing us to be born again to a living hope. Justification is a term where God reckons that we have met the demands of the law. He declares that we're righteous in view of the law. Faith is believing. Faith is not just believing in our heads. It's believing in our hearts. It's not devil belief, for the demons also believe and tremble, but it's actual belief and trust in Christ unto salvation. Repentance is to turn away from sin to God. It's not just changing your mind. It is turning from sin, loathing it really, and turning instead to Christ. Belief is the same as faith. Again, there's an object to faith and belief, and that is Jesus Christ. We talk about surrender, dying to self, take up your cross and follow Christ, lose your life, that kind of thing. And there's calling. There are two kinds of calling to the Calvinist. There's an external calling, which happens all the time without people being saved. And there's the internal calling, which is actually regeneration. So those are the things that, you know, happen. So let's deal with the basic issue. Is salvation of God or is it of us? And I think we can state it that explicitly. Is the Lord truly just waiting for us to do something? I mentioned Burger King this morning, and William said, you know, you lack discernment going to Burger King in the first place. That's true, I guess. You go to Burger King and you ask them for, you know, a sandwich, a couple of sandwiches yesterday. So you ask them for that and then you wait. And as you wait, you're not guaranteed that they're going to do the right thing. It's frustrating. You can stop, you know, for people behind you in line. You hate to go through the bag. You got to pull out. And I looked at the receipt. It said, yeah, those sandwiches were in there. They weren't. But so you're waiting. You're waiting for somebody to do something right. You're waiting for humans to do something right. Now, that's frustrating for us. Can you imagine and God being the God that we're told he is in the scripture, that God waits for us to do what he wants us to do and what he has chosen that we do, that it could be called of God if he's waiting on us. If he's waiting on us, then it's us that's the touch point, the flash point with us. Does a decision mean in Scripture that God truly saves us? Well, the Bible speaks of believing in vain. Some people believe in vain. Jesus said, if you deny him, he'll deny us. There is a believing in vain. There is a belief that falls short. We see it in the parable of the sower and the soils. Those that two seeds there fell short of true belief. one of the complaints that I have about modern evangelism is it doesn't need God for it to work. And that's the downfall in it. It works best without God. If you wait for the Holy Spirit to save people, you can't count as many people. If you wait for outward fruit, you wait for conversion, true change, a fruit of salvation, fruit of the Spirit. If you wait for that, you cannot have the same numbers of people counted and listed in our reports, because you can't know that at the time, really. Some people are wondrously changed, and they're very obvious. Some, you know, rev up a little bit slower, but they've been changed. It just takes too long to depend on the Holy Spirit. So the faster way, you get more numbers, when you count decisions, that is, you count what people do. The Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus said, the wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it and know it, but you can't tell where it's coming from. So is everyone born of the Spirit. It is a mysterious thing to us. We can't see the work of the Spirit inside. And so we can't count that. But then when you count people making the decision, well, you're including a large percentage of people who are just making a decision. They're not making it because their hearts have been opened to believe the things spoken by Paul. They're not convicted of sin. They're not repenting of sin. They're just making a decision. You get more numbers that way. And that's why numbers in some churches are way, way high about how many people are being saved, because they're not counting saved people. They're counting people who made a decision. And if that decision was brought by the Holy Spirit, that's a good decision. If it wasn't, it's not. So what's the order of salvation? Well, there are a few forerunners that aren't really considered classically part of the order of salvation. The fact that we're predestined, the fact that we're elect, those things are outside of the time of salvation. And there's also the outward call. The outward call, I'm speaking from the Calvinist standpoint, the outward call may be rejected many times. The Holy Spirit makes the inward call, which is regeneration. But the outward call, we do that. The gospel, we call people to faith by the gospel. The gospel is the means by which the Holy Spirit takes the outward call and turns it into an inward call. But you can give an outward call and have the Holy Spirit not make an inward call. But the inward call is to the heart. The inward call of the Holy Spirit changes the heart, causes us to be born again, changes our heart and our mind. And from that point, it is guaranteed that that person will be saved. There's no opening of a person's heart by the Holy Spirit causing them to be born again and having them not believe and not be converted. They can believe falsely, which is not the internal call. That's just the external call that they would respond to. So that happens first. That's regeneration. So to the question, what comes first, regeneration or conversion? Biblically, regeneration comes first. And so that is the changing of the heart. The call of the Holy Spirit, applying the word of God to the heart, opening it up, convicting of sin, brings conversion, repentance, and faith. That in time, again, is instant. Our hearts are open. Remember in Acts, Peter preached, people's hearts were open, they were crushed, cut to the heart. That's the inward call of the Holy Spirit. What shall we do? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. So we believe. We're converted. We have faith. Repentance and faith is conversion. We then are justified. The Bible says we're justified by faith. So faith precedes justification. That's the declaration that we're righteous on the basis of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Our Lord is blameless to the law. He declares us blameless to the law, justified by faith in Christ. That begins perseverance. Now, that is, we begin the Christian life and we endure in that because God endures in us. And to look back at our order here in Romans 8, we're also glorified. That is something we possess as Christians. That's not something that we will be glorified, although we will be. But we have that in our possession as being saved. We are destined then, it's part of the whole process, to be glorified. That's the order. So the outward call goes, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. We hear the outward call, but faith comes inside. And our hearts are open and we're changed. And then we repent. We believe, we're justified. And then from that moment on, are Christians. And we persevere to the end by the grace of Christ. And we're glorified because we are then destined for heaven. And we begin the process to that. We've been set in the heavenly places in Christ already. Now, this is as opposed to the Arminian order. The Arminian order is based on the external call. The external call, external call, external call, external call is given. And this shows the mindset of the Arminian position, that the external call is, it's like, I guess, throwing pebbles against a girl's window in the neighborhood that you want to get to know, and hoping she'll open up the window. You know, the external call, throw a pebble, pop, pop, pop. And finally she opens up and says, "Oh, my love," or she says, "Stop throwing rocks at my window." So it's that's that external call. So that pepper the window with pebbles. But when you decide to receive it, you believe. You turn from sin to God then. You repent. Then, in the Arminian position, you're born again. Then the Holy Spirit changes your heart. You see, that it can't be any more off. We're regenerated. The Holy Spirit does a work in us after we believe. They've taken the order, the outward thing we see, you know, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved, for example. And they've removed the ability to do that from the equation. They just see it as a human power to believe. When, you know, faith comes from hearing, hearing by the word of Christ, we can't come to God unless we're drawn. We can't come to Jesus unless we're drawn by the Father. All those things are ignored. So they see belief setting the thing in motion, bringing faith, bringing repentance. Then the Holy Spirit does his work, and then we're justified. Then we get on the perseverance thing, which for pure Arminian would mean we could lose our salvation. Free Will Baptist would say. And then glorification in time if we hold on. Southern Baptists believe in eternal security, which is disconnected from actual fruit, which is, nobody does that except Southern Baptists that I know of. So that is an entirely different foundation. Your faith is then founded on your acceptance of the external call. This is why people fall away, because they've never been actually brought in. You can't be brought in that way. Now consider, you know, you're living in a humble house. You don't have a whole lot of money. You go somewhere and you see a big house, big mansion. Guy's got a lot of money, obviously, whoever has that house. And so you receive the call then that you are going to be part of that guy's family. You're going to be part of his heritage. You're going to put yourself in the line of inheritance for that guy's house. That's your decision. And so you make that decision staring at the riches that you see. I believe I should be your son. And you should then give me some of your money when you die. And so what does the guy inside, if he sees you out there acting like kind of silly, he comes out and you tell him what you did. He said, well, you're in my family then. No, you got to get there by another way. He's got to adopt you. Adoption is another thing that happens in this process. With regeneration, we're brought into the family of God. I mean, that's part of that, but I just left out of the order. But it's included in there when you are called inwardly, you're placed in the family of God. Well, he has to do that. Your decision outside the gates of the castle will not do it. It has to be done by the owner. Only God can do it for us. Only God can bring us into his family. We have no right, no power to do it. And he has not opened it up to whoever in his own power wants to. He says, whoever will, but whoever will is again empowered by the Holy Spirit. Whoever will is only those who have been able to do so by the power of the Holy Spirit to call inside. So it gets way out of hand if you don't hold to that. And so many are deceived, and so many churches are just puffed up with decisions rather than regeneration. And if you trust yourself in that, and the order of salvation starts with you, there's no way you can be saved. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation by grace is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. It is clear in the Bible. I'm sorry people don't like that. It's like people don't like the sovereignty of God because it messes with their minds, and they want to reject it for their own comfort. Well, you got to go with the reality. People want to fly like Superman, but you don't jump off a gorge to do it. You got to have that ability before. You got to be from Krypton to do that. This is the difference. So the order of salvation starts with God. Regeneration comes before conversion. The benefits of salvation started by God. Our adoption as sons started by God. God adopts us. God saves us. God chooses us. God does all that stuff. And then this happens underneath the surface. It comes out. A person might go forward at that point. My dad did that. That was the invitation given. He went forward and prayed, but his heart was already dealt with before he did that. That's what saves us. God saves us. That's the order of salvation. Let's pray. Lord, you're awfully good to us, very gracious to us, how you love your people. And we thank you, Lord, for that. And thank you for the power of salvation, the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. Why do they believe? Because it's the power of God unto salvation. We thank you. And Lord, pray we would always see and present the gospel in a way that you might open hearts, that we might make it clear as we should. But then, Lord, that we would see in this day more and more of your power to save. In Jesus' name, amen.